What's up, everybody? Hey, if we don't know each other, my name's Andrew Lahan. I'm the youth pastor here at Freedom, and this is, again, the Freedom Youth Student Takeover Sunday. Didn't those guys do an incredible job on stage? And there's more of them. They're scattered throughout the whole place. I know, like, your biggest nightmares are a place where teenagers are scattered everywhere. But man, they're serving hard. They're at the doors. Some of them, you saw them as ushers. They're helping out all over as well. You know, you maybe saw our Freedom Youth booth, the youth booth over in the front in the lobby. And then we've got some carpet ball tables out there as well. It's actually a game if you want to go check that out. But, man, it's been a good morning so far. And let me just say this. Can we just have like a cheesy, like one of those heartfelt moments real fast? Can I just say that I love my job? Like, I love working here at Freedom Church. This place is amazing. And seriously, like I just want to say I have to give the biggest, like, this is not a joke, the most genuine thank you to any and all parents and church members, man, for allowing me to speak into your students' lives and for trusting me with that. And it's seriously the biggest honor ever. So thank you so much for that. You know, you're clapping for you. This is for you, not for me. But I do want to take a minute. This, you know, the student taker has looked different in the past, and there's been moments where it's just like, you know, like last year I had like skate park quarter pipes up here. We had kids doing backflips on scooters. Like, that was cool. That's great. But this time I want to just give you a little snapshot into the heartbeat behind Freedom Youth. And I want to kind of give you a little more of the vantage point that I take when dealing with students and kind of my heart behind student ministry and why I'm passionate about it. And so I just want to share a few things with you. But first, I feel like we got to get on the same page when it comes to what a youth group looks like, because we all have a little bit of a different view of what we think the youth group actually does. Some of us, okay? Some people think that all we do is goof off, and it's like, yo, show up to youth group, and we're going to see who could stick the most bananas in their nose. Like, some of you think that what the youth group is a torture device against parents to work against them, to tell them all of the dark, dark, sinister things of the world before they're ready. Some of you don't care what we do. You're just like, hey, praise Jesus. Like, this is my hour and 15 minutes of freedom. I don't care what you do with them. Here, they're yours. And look, you can't go youth culture or young adult culture even without this thing we call a meme. Memes are a way of life. It's basically just a funny picture that points out something that's kind of true. So let's have a little bit of fun with this. I want to let you in on some memes. I got some here. I just need you to, like, be with me on this. And I'm going to let you in. Okay, I'm going to let you into my life as a youth pastor and what it feels like to be a youth pastor sometimes. So go ahead, hit me with that first one. Yeah, that's real though. That's actually a Freedom Church board meeting. Go to the next one. Uh-huh, go ahead, read it. Yeah. Some of you know, like, this is all too true, though. Go to the next one. Okay. I found this on the internet. But this is the most real thing I've ever seen. Any youth event, camp, big super night, I mean, whatever it is, it starts like this. It's like, all right, guys, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be a great idea. This is going to be so much fun. Best event of the year. All right, you know, some things changed. Like, it's cool. I mean, it's not, all right, that's fine. We'll be all right. To, like, sorry, what just happened? What did they just do? Oh, my gosh. Like that's every Wednesday. Go to the next one. Uh-huh, I deal with this all the time. It's like, hey, look, don't get me wrong, man. Like, I know you ain't perfect. Like, I'm not trying to clean up your language. Like, whatever. I got to get you to heaven before I try to clean up your language. But you can't be like, oh, praise to my Father. He's so great and has a plan for me. And then just be like throwing Fs and Bs and all. And man, who knows? I don't know. Let's just keep the stage clean right now. But go to the next one. Yeah, this one too. Pastor Andrew, I know you're at... My mom's not dead, but I know you're at your mom's funeral, but I just wanted to know if you could talk. My goldfish died. My girlfriend dumped me for the sixth time today. Go to the next one. And all of this leads to my favorite cocktail. The youth pastor martini, Doritos and Mountain Dew. So good. And then I did one more because let's just sum it all up with this. Again, we got to get on the same page. Go ahead, throw up. What my friends think we do, what society thinks we do, what my pastor thinks we do, what the board thinks we do, what parents think we do, and what we actually do. Come on, somebody. Look, I didn't want to come up here and like pretend like the youth ministry is this wild thing that it's not. In fact, we actually try to model church the same way you guys do. We have giving projects. We have small groups. We pray. We have a worship team. We encounter the presence of God and God's moving through them. Why? Because I believe that I don't want to set them up for failure in life. And when it comes to going to church, I don't want to give them this false idea and this fairy tale of what church actually is. And then they drop out after high school. I want to set them up for success to succeed in environments like this. Amen. So we model it after you guys. That's what we do. But, well, let me give you this first. I want to give you a little bit of vision behind Freedom Youth. Okay. Give you a little bit of vision. This is the actual vision behind Freedom. You can throw it up. Behind Freedom Youth. And that's simple. Freedom Youth vision. There you go. It's reclaiming culture for Christ. These guys are always dealing with so much stuff. Everything is popular. It's all about following the next trend, yada, yada. I say we reclaim and we tell everybody else what is popular. We make this what's popular. We make this the new trend. Reclaiming culture for Christ through three freedoms. The freedom to have a relationship with Jesus. The freedom to discover and develop our gifts, talents, and callings. And through the freedom to change our world. And I truly do. If you've talked to me at all, you know that I won't shut up about it. I truly do believe that they are going to change the world. I believe there is so much greatness inside of this next generation. It is ridiculous. They will change the world. And the vantage point I take, the stance I take when talking to teenagers and dealing with teenagers is something that Paul writes to the Roman church, Romans 1:8. And I've just said this over and over, and I'm probably not stopping anytime soon. Paul writes this. He says, "Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world." And I think that is what's in this next generation, that you just watch and see what happens with when a bunch of teenagers start owning the things that God's doing in their life. Their faith will be talked about all over the world, and we'll just see where it goes from there. Amen? Go ahead. Get the clap out of the way. Yeah. But I think it is very fair to say, and look, it's okay to agree with these things, even though I'm probably about to get some amens and hallelujahs for stuff I don't want it for. I think it's safe and it's fair to say that the majority of Americans 35 and older are at least mildly, if not severely, uninterested and annoyed with teens and 20-somethings. Very uninterested. And very annoyed with teens and 20-somethings. And like, I'm watching the amens because like, I'm a 20-something. Watch, don't amen too hard, please, because I'll get scared and run off stage. BuzzFeed wrote an article. BuzzFeed wrote this article. They did, some of you, you're like, this is a candy store. This is going to be great for you. BuzzFeed wrote an article called 17 Reasons Why Millennials Are the Worst Generation Ever. You're so excited. Like, you're like, ooh, yes, tell me more. 17 reasons. I'm only going to give you 5. Oh, Lord, help me right now. They don't know how to handle money. Mm-hmm. And in the world of social media, where we're more connected than ever, they don't actually know how to socialize. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, this one. They don't have any real work ethic. All the parents is looking at. Number 4, they are selfish. And number 5, they are super entitled. Okay. They don't know how to handle money. They don't know how to socialize. They have no work ethic. They are selfish and they are super entitled. We are uninterested in them and we are annoyed with them. Psalm 105. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to all generations. You can be as annoyed as you want. God doesn't skip out on generations. God doesn't leave a generation in the dark. You probably annoyed your parents. They thought you were the worst ones ever. First point is this. Right? My message title is Be the Because. First point is this. Before we go any further, like, I just want to shift your perspective of how you view and handle the generations under you. It's not your generation versus their generation. It's not. Look, their mountains don't look like your mountains. And this is either going to rub somebody the wrong way or it's going to speak to you. I'm praying it's going to speak to you. Young people's sense of entitlement is not a bad thing. They are entitled, but is it possible that they've been given eyes to look at life a little bit differently than generations before? Is it possible that this across-the-board entitlement they have could possibly come from a sense of hunger, from hunger pains that God has placed inside the heart of a generation? Is it possible that it comes from the desires and the passions to not settle for anything less than being completely sold out to a purpose that only heaven can provide? If you can prepare the way for them and fight to keep their eyes on the right thing, if you can help them stay focused and dig deeper, they'll do things we could never imagine. They are entitled. Entitled to what God's placed inside of them. Some of them just don't know what God's placed inside of them yet, so they're trying to find it other places. They're trying to make it big because they're called to big things. We can't keep, and hear this. This is probably one of the most important lines in this entire message, is that we cannot oppress what God has placed inside of them. We can't keep trying to oppress and shut down and package and box up what God has placed inside of them. We've got to pull it out. And so what if, Freedom Church? Like, what if we began to shift their desires and shift these yearnings they have, these ambitions they have, right, where the selfishness and entitlement come from, but these yearnings, these ambitions, into the parameters of what God placed them to be in and where God longs for them to be? What if we help them quench those hunger pains with the power of Jesus? And if we'll do this, I promise you, we will see them do more for the kingdom in a shorter amount of time than any generation before them. They're not facing the same mountains as you. It looks, they're gonna face them, and you faced them, but they're different. You can't keep comparing them to what you went through and you've gone through and what you've learned. Which leads to my second point. Dude, we gotta shepherd the sheep. We gotta shepherd the sheep. There are lost, so many, I mean, we can agree with that. Like, they are lost. Ezekiel 34, 1 through 6. Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Prophesy against them. Prophesy against the shepherds, the leaders of Israel. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. What sorrow awaits you shepherds who feed yourselves instead of your flocks? Shouldn't shepherds feed their sheep? You drink the milk, you wear the wool, and you butcher the best animals, but you let your flocks starve. Keep going. You have not taken care of the weak. You have not tended to the sick or bound up the injured. You have not gone looking for those who have wandered away and are lost. Instead, you have ruled them with harshness and cruelty. So my sheep have been scattered without a shepherd, and they are easy prey. Pay attention to that. They are easy prey for any wild animal. We get so upset and so frustrated with them because there's so much consuming their lives and so many things take their attention away, and they go so many different routes we wish they wouldn't go. That's because they're easy prey. That's because they're low-hanging fruit. They're easy to grab. They have wandered through all the mountains and all the hills across the face of the earth, yet no one has gone to search for them. I know they won't face the same mountains as you, but you can teach them the paths you know. Look, you guys have so much wisdom and you've gone through so much life and stuff yourself, and you get mad because they don't know what you know, but that's because you haven't taught them yet. Here's the deal. I didn't even plan on putting this in the message, but I had a conversation. We were just talking about survival skills, right? And I can't be mad at someone for not making a great fire if they haven't been taught how to make a fire. Okay, you talk survival skills, right? You need fire, you need food, you need water, you need shelter. If you haven't been shown how to build a shelter to protect yourself from the elements and keep you safe, you will not build a good shelter. If you haven't been shown how to access clean water or to find food to keep yourself sustained and to keep yourself fed, you will die. And we can't be mad at them for that. Their mountains will look different, but on the paths that you've taken and the paths that God has laid out before you and allowed you to go on, and the things that he's brought you through and brought you around and taken you through and allowed you to have breakthrough through, show them those paths. Hey, what you're going to face may be different, but this is what I've learned along the way. These are the things that I've seen. This is how God showed up in my life, and this is what it means when this happens. Teach them the paths you know. Psalm 78, 1 through 7 says this. It says, "Oh, my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying, for I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past, stories we have heard and known, stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to their children, so that the next generation might know them, even the children not yet born, and they in turn will teach their own children, so each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting about his glorious miracles and obeying his commands." I have 130 students that show up to this youth group nearly every Wednesday. There's more than that, just scattered throughout, but we average about 130 kids. It's awesome. It's great. But they show up, and they're fighting this battle of life. They're fighting through it. They're going through some stuff. They're going through some junk. There's so much pressure and so many things that build anxiety and fear and just, you name it, it's there. But they're facing the battle of life. But when they come here, they're growing together as a family under the name of Christ, no matter what. They're facing so much adversity against them. So please, I'm just asking you, don't brush them off, because there's legit and awesome things happening in their lives. I'll say this real quick. It's easy for us to get annoyed when a teenager comes up to us and, I mean, it's the end of the world for them. Somebody just broke up with somebody. Their image has been affected. Somebody said something to them. There's a bully at school. And what do? Sometimes we shut it down. We're like, hey, it's not that big of a deal. It's cool. You're not going to marry. You're 13. You are not going to marry that boy anyway. Right? Like, we shut it down. And it's true. Okay? But we shut down the things that they're freaking out about because we know better. Why? Because we went through it. They haven't gone through it yet. This is their first time facing a lot of things in life. They're facing a ton of firsts. And so you got to understand and shift your perspective to this, that when things rock their world, understand that that is their world, okay? Understand that is their world. And whenever they freak out, maybe try to empathize and just figure out where it's coming from and coach them through it. I've had to coach kids through their puppy dying, okay? Where I'm really like, God, just get over it. Like, let's go out to eat or something. You know, like, you try to brush them off and not show them how to work through things. Show them the why behind the what. Show them the why behind the what. That's kind of back to the whole survival skills. You can't be mad at somebody for not making a fire if they don't know how to make a fire. The paths God put in front of them, the paths God put in front of you, they're so much different, but you, please understand this. You can use the wisdom and the heart behind what you've learned and what you've been through to show them the whys behind the what's. Another super important line you gotta get is that they need to see the mountains you've conquered. They've gotta see the mountains that you have conquered so that they can even see that mountains can be conquered. they don't know it. They may see this massive thing in front of them. They don't know how, they're called life, and they don't know how to get through it or around it or up over it. They need to see that mountains can be conquered. So show them the ones that you've been over and been through. Third point is this, be the because. And I'm not trying to please don't flip this around on me and be like, that's dumb millennials up there talking to me about how terrible my generation is, or you're the one, you know. Don't flip it around on me. I'm not saying anything bad about your generation, whichever one that is, A, B, C, X, Y, Z, baby boomer, what, I don't know. I don't know the names of them. Your generation has its own uniqueness and its own special qualities. And I promise I would never come in here and not honor the greatness that comes before me. And the leadership and the sacrifices you guys have made and the hard work and the wisdom that sits right here in front of me. But it's for those very things that I'm talking about this right now. Because I believe that you are someone's because of you caring, someone didn't have to go through what life had mapped out for them. Because of you, someone broke chains of addiction. Somebody showed them that chains of addiction can be broken. And because of that, they now see it clearly and they have a way out. Because you live when you live for a reason, okay? God has completely, there's a massive purpose for who you are. There's also a massive purpose for when you are. God created something so great inside of you. He's moving through you, no doubt. You've gone through some things and you've seen God move and you've seen this and you've seen that. And yes, that's incredible. And God's lining things up for you. That's awesome. But he's also placed you at the time period you're in so that you can help pull in the next generation and call the greatness out of them. You're not an accident. It doesn't end with you. His faithfulness continues through all generations. And it's up to us to pull that out of them and to usher them in. Because of you simply caring, these lazy and entitled and selfish young people are going to unlock the epic revival that God has called them to lead. You've been placed where you are and when you are for a reason. You've been strategically placed at this point in time so that you can usher them in. And today is your day to start believing in them, or maybe come back to believing in them again. Be faithful with the next generation. I'm gonna give you a couple more verses real quick just to show you that God, this is legit, this is real. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. How great are his signs, how powerful are his wonders. His kingdom will last forever and his rule through all generations. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. Each generation, all generations. I'm gonna ask my five peeps, my fam, to come on up here. This is some of my youth family right here. And I just want you to hear for yourself. I can talk as much as I want, but I just want to give you living proof. We got a couple more minutes left in service. I want to give you living, live proof that God is moving through young people. And so they're going to come up here. They're going to have about 30 seconds each, and they're just going to say, hey, what's up? Here's some things God's doing in my life. They're not going to give you their whole life story. They're going to give you a snapshot of it. And I want you to listen, and I want you to hear it. And, we didn't talk, beforehand about, hey, all right, make sure the story is really good. Nobody's going to lie to you up here. They're not going to be like, hey, what's up? I was in 19 gangs, and me and my puppy used to do heroin together. And then I got Snapchat, and it saved my life, you know. That's not what's going to happen. They're just going to be real with you. They're going to let you into their lives. So I ask you to kind of let them into yours as well. So go ahead, Tommy.
Okay. Hello. Okay. So my name's Tommy. I've always been called to be a leader, and for the longest time, I was in a friend group where I wasn't able to be a leader. I was a follower, and I was being led down the wrong path. And when I came to Freedom Youth, they showed me how to be a leader and what I'm supposed to do. And so I got out of that friend group, and I found friends that are now brothers to me, and we're all walking through Christ together. And it's really good to have friends around you that you can talk. Yep. That you can talk to God about. You mean talk with God? I don't. Yeah. All right.
Oh, sorry.
All right, Alexis.
My name's Alexis, and before coming to Freedom, I felt really lost because I didn't grow up in a Christian household. So I was dealing with so many insecurities and just doing life with people that weren't good influences on me. But because someone cared enough, they invited me to Freedom Youth, and it completely flipped my life around. And not only did I find God, but I found myself in all of that.
Big Jake.
Hello, I'm Jose, and I felt like before I came to Freedom, I felt like God wasn't answering my prayers, and I was living in a rough home, and I came to Freedom, and they showed me what a real family was and what real love was, and they cared for me, and they taught me, you know, you can do anything with God. You know, as long as you have God in it, you can do anything.
My name's Mari, and I grew up in a Christian home, and my mom did, you know, a really good job showing me what a great marriage was and how to, you know, be the example to live in a godly household. But as we got more involved, I really struggled with how I was going to tell people who had bigger struggles than me to have faith when my faith was never all that I had. I always had my mom to be there. I always had a great family and a great church. So that kind of evolved into telling God, I don't need you right now. I'm good right now on my own. And so then eventually, like, I fell off and I stopped going to church and I got involved in a lot of bad stuff. And then I went back, and Andrew was the new youth pastor. And, you know, he really believed in us as a youth group, and he really believed in me personally, and has now set me up to go to college and to share my faith to everyone, regardless of what they're going through or what I've been through. And just has, you know, set a great example of how to love God, and that you need him in everything, not just the big things.
That's awesome. Hey, real quick before Matt goes, he's a grown man. He's not like that kid that hit puberty when he was 7. Matt's a grown man. Matt's been an adult leader with us at Freedom Youth for about a little over a year, I think, now, and or maybe right out of a year. And I just want to have him up here as a different perspective, too, from the adult side of things, that that what God's doing isn't just in them. It's also in all. Man, it just, God's moving. I love what Matt has to say. I just want you to hear his heart real quick.
It's kind of funny what Andrew mentions. It's been a year. Last year, if you told me I'd be with the youth, I wouldn't believe you. I'd run the other way. Me and my wife moved here in 2014, and we were still growing in our walk with Christ and becoming more like him. And I met Andrew in Life Group, and one night he was praying over the youth ministry. And at that moment, I knew God called me into the youth ministry, but I did what men typically do. I ran the other way. I was like, I'm only 27 years old, teenagers, I can't deal with teenagers. What am I going to teach them? You know, that. There was a second time where God told me, hey, you need to be youth ministry. It was at Bible study with Pastor Kendall on Wednesday mornings. So I didn't want to wait to the third time because I don't want to be walking with a limp or anything like that. So I was like, all right, I'll do it. So, and it's just crazy, just the year I've seen, just watching these kids grow in Christ. Some have did a complete 180. Some have been equipped with, you know, just how to handle certain things. And some have been called to leaders and lead others to Christ. And I've cried with him, been mad at him, I've yelled at him, I've been injured. I mean, pretty much a lot of different things dealing with kids. But one thing that sticks out to me most is God said, take care of my house. And now we're buying a house this year, which, you know, in this market is crazy. And that in itself is a testimony to God, because we had been trying to buy a house for a long time. We could not buy one. And then the way things just happened this year is just definitely God, because we weren't even planning to buy a house this year. And it just fell through. Another one is God told me to take care of his children, and now my wife's pregnant with our first child. So that's crazy.
That's awesome. Hey, make some noise for these guys again. Y'all are awesome. I love y'all so much. I don't know if you heard Matt. He was obedient, and God blessed him. What? Take care of my house. God blesses them with a house. Take care of my children. God gives them a little Matt. Just saying. God don't play. Psalm 71:18. I love this. Now that I'm old and gray, do not abandon me, O God. Let me proclaim your power to this new generation, your mighty miracles to all those who come after me. Freedom Church, if the only thing that God has ever graced me to do and the only grace lane he's ever allowed me to operate in is just somewhat trying to figure out how I can usher in the next generation and speak life in them and lead them to kick and butt for the kingdom of God so they can bring in the revival that this world needs, then that's what I'm going to do until I roll over dead. And I just ask, just be with me on that. Psalm 105, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues through all generations. So here's how we're going to respond. This isn't necessarily the come up and cry moment. Here's how we respond. I just want to get you thinking a little bit. For some, this just simply means shifting how you view and how you handle things with your own family, how you operate with your own kids, whether they're young adult or teenager or whatever, but it's shifting that mindset of what the family atmosphere is like. For some, this means becoming a better steward of the young people God has given you influence over. And I say that, I mean, you know, I know that not everybody in here is hanging out with teenagers every week, but even some of the young adults around you, in the business world, some of you have young people that work under you. And this means becoming a better steward of how you lead them. Becoming a better steward of the young people God's placed you around. And for others, this means taking a legit role as a mentor or a leader and being intentional and going out of your way to pour in to a young person. And for a few, and again, this is not a commercial for Freedom Youth, but for a few, this may even look like getting involved with Freedom Youth in our leadership team. And at minimum, we have to allow this today to shift our perspective on the up-and-coming generation and change our demeanor with how we interact with them. There will be kids at Sonic that do not use manners. All right, you're going to go to the mall and interact with some of them, and they're not going to give you the greatest customer service in the world. They haven't been shown. They don't know. Let's be there for them. All generations. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you for this moment right here where we can come in and just have a growing moment together as a church family. God, ultimately, man, I gotta thank you for the things you've placed inside of this up-and-coming generation. Lord, their entitlement, the selfishness, it's just misdirected greatness. God, they are entitled. They're entitled to the things you've promised them. They just don't know it yet because they don't know you fully. Help us to point them to you. Help us to point them to Jesus and to show them why. To show them our paths and the wisdom and things we have, to not get mad at them, to not just be upset and annoyed with them, but to take time and to really pull in and pull the greatness out of this generation. Lord, I love you. I thank you for what you're doing here. Help us just to continue to walk this out. We surrender it all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you guys so much. My beautiful wife is going to come up and give you a couple of announcements. What's up, girl? You look fine.
Well, thank you. Guys, we've got a couple quick announcements for you. First of all, thank you so much for joining us for Student Takeover Weekend. I hope that you guys had as much fun as we did. Apparently, there's a lot of fun that went into this week leading up to this as well, with all the fun videos and everything. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. Will you do me a favor? He's my husband, so I'll tell him all day. Will you let him know again that you're so thankful for the word he gave us this morning? Thank you, Andrew. He killed it. He always does. All right, tonight is the night. Hawaiian Falls, it is here. We get to go hang out tonight. If you haven't bought your tickets yet, you still can today. There's a table right outside these doors that are still selling tickets. They're only $5. If you don't know what all of this Hawaiian Falls talk is, we are renting out the entire water park tonight. We're gonna do baptisms there, but we also get to play on the slides and like hang out in the wave pool and all that stuff too. So you definitely have to be there. $5, you can get your tickets out there. If you have pre-purchased your tickets and you did it online, you can also pick up your tickets at that table. So make sure you head out there and pick those up before this evening. One other quick thing with that, if you were planning on bringing food tonight, food or drinks or whatever, and you were gonna bring it in a cooler, please bear in mind there is a $10 charge at the door for that. So if you're gonna bring a cooler, bring $10. Cool? Another thing, a week from yesterday, I guess, at the end of this week, this coming Saturday the 12th, you are totally allowed to take out your phone and set a reminder, set your alarm for Saturday morning to wake up. We are doing our next Revive Texas outreach. We're going to meet here. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. If you haven't been yet, you have to be there. It is unlike anything you'll ever experience. 8 a.m. here at the church on Saturday morning. It'll go from 8 to 12. So come ready, ready to change the world. That's what we're doing with those Revive Texas outreaches for sure. So please, please be there. I think that is all that we have for you, really. If you want to learn any more about the events that we have got coming up at Freedom Church, you can go to findfreedom.church, or you can also download our app. I teased last service, if you don't know what an app is or how to download it, there's like a billion high schoolers out there. You can just grab one, say, how do I download this app? They'll do it for you for free. They might ask for like a high five or a donut from the coffee shop, but they'll help you out. If you guys could stand to your feet for me, bless you out of here today so you can go get ready, go put your sunscreen on for tonight. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you and give you great, great peace. We'll see you tonight.